Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action, episode 47. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter or Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So, Action, how was your big weekend?
It was nice. I was out in Lake Tahoe with the family for a family wedding, and we had a wonderful time. The weather was really perfect, not too hot, not too cold, and we got a lot of hiking in, and I was dragged off the couch Saturday morning by my family, so I didn't sit around and watch football all day like normal.
I gotcha.
How about you?
You gotta get out. It was nice. I mean, nothing too crazy. Went out a little bit Friday night after basketball practice, met Ridgeway out, and she was in good spirits, so to speak. Saturday morning, we destroyed our opponent, the Shockers, 133-0, so we covered the spread in that one.
All right. And then hit
Manali's, and I went to a play with Sophia and her boyfriend, which was nice, at Steppenwolf. So it's a nice weekend. We had the marathon here in Chicago on Sunday, which kind of shuts things down, as you can imagine. I was not part of that at all. I was just, as far as possible, just did some prep work before the games, and had a better weekend this weekend. I've been getting crushed lately. So, I mean, overall 4-3, just a small profit. But if I laid off that money line for Texas, I would have been, 5-2. And overall, the index is showing me to follow the index, man. So I know we had a rough weekend with the Circa again, but we'll try to do a little course correction.
Yeah, I think this is the point in the season where the numbers really start to take a foothold, and you can get a much clearer picture on these teams. So hopefully we can start trending in the upward direction.
Absolutely. Let's get into the agenda here. We've got college football. We'll go over the recap from last week and then our look ahead for week 8. In between there, we'll do the metrics, SP Plus, like we always go. And we got a new leader here. We've got some injuries to go over, and then our spots. I know a lengthy spots because I had so many that's listed this week. Had more time to prep, I guess, yesterday. And then the NFL, we'll go into overall numbers like we always do. Some big injuries, even a trade. And then we'll go over our metrics before we get into our spots and then the Circa contest tete-a-tete. So that's a pretty big episode as usual.
Yeah, let's get to it.
So in college this week, we did better overall as the podcast. We went 4-2, which is better than the last couple weeks. If I'd have talked us into Texas earlier, we'd have gone 5-2. But unfortunately, like I said, went money line, but they covered in that one. Your Toledo did not come in. This was kind of a weird situation. Bowling Green, who stinks, we know this, somehow held Toledo to 7 points, the high-flying Rockets to 7 points and 120-7. What happened?
Well, I have no idea. I did read that the Toledo quarterback, Mitch Guadani, got knocked out early in the game. So I suspect that's what held down their offense. But they did end up with 392 yards on the game. Bowling Green had 425, and just probably the most shocking result of the day in terms of the spread. They were 25-point favorites, obviously, and they got upset 20-7.
Yeah, nuts. Outright loser there. And yeah, just a shocker. Everybody shocked on that. So the next one was Michigan State at Wisconsin, the under of 40. Man, Wisconsin's good. They just pounded Sparty 38-0.
Yeah, just a total butt whipping there. 22-7 first down edge, and they outgained Michigan State 402-149. Just complete domination. And I was worried that this under was going to get busted there at the end, but thankfully Wisconsin came up with an interception at the goal line on the last play of the game, which sealed it.
That's just unbelievable. Well, I just think that, we'll talk about in the metrics later, and this Wisconsin team is for real. I don't know if they can beat Ohio State. It's kind of a shame they're in the same conference because I'd really like to see them in the playoff against some of these other teams that I think are kind of coasting on bad schedules,
Yeah, I mean, well, you and I tried to text over the weekend. It's possible that both Wisconsin and Ohio State could sneak into the playoffs, especially if some of these SEC teams keep beating each other up.
Exactly. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll talk a little bit about it. We'll mention it. Our Temple was getting 6 points against Memphis, and shocker, shockers, another outright winner. Temple won the game against Memphis 30-28.
Yeah, it was a big win for Temple. Really kind of buoyed by a few Memphis turnovers. They turned it over on three straight possessions in the first half. And Temple's defense really kind of stepped up just like I suspected that they would.
Exactly. Good call by you for sure on that one. One that did not work out was Florida State against Clemson. First of all, they started the wrong quarterback. We were talking about Hornibrook all week, and then Blackman starts, which kind of hurts. Then they went to Hornibrook, and then he threw a pick. And the other thing was Clemson came out exactly the way we expected them to come out at the beginning of the year, and they were just house on fire. The offense was lighting it up, defense playing great. This is the Clemson team we expected, 45-14, and it wasn't even that close. It was, what, like 38-0 or something like that at one point. So.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it looks like that Clemson used the bye week to get right, so to speak, and they just totally dominated, doubled them up in yardage, 552 to 253. And I read that Dabo Swinney pulled out some trick plays. Etienne even threw a pass early in the game, and it appears that Clemson might be gearing up for their postseason run.
Exactly. Well, you know, they don't play anybody, so they have to kind of, you know, maybe they just kind of had to start off slow to give themselves motivation to play better now, but we'll see as they go forward. The next game was Iowa State at West Virginia. We've been talking about this. West Virginia sucks. We just fade them every week, and it was another game like that. It was a little close for a while. It was a little bit tricky. I actually gave this pick out to Jimmy Zaronis from the Shockers.
Nice.
So I'm glad I got a winner for him. And early it was kind of close because, you know, I think West Virginia scored the first. I think they made a defensive score or something in this one early. But freshman, I don't know if it's Bryce or Breece Hall, he ran for 136 yards and three touchdowns. This kid looks good. He was just ripping that defense, and they won 38-14.
Yeah, huge win. I mean, 14-14 at halftime, and Iowa State just blitzed them in the second half. 24-0. So that'll get you there.
That's what we wanted. That's what we wanted. The last one was USC at Notre Dame. Notre Dame really was, I guess USC was up early, and then Notre Dame was up kind of a sizable lead there. And USC made a push at the end. They were getting 11 in this one and then ended up really covering easily. They scored a touchdown late to get it to within three. I thought they might have actually could have won the game. They went for, you know, outside kick and didn't get it because they got that late touchdown. So 30-27, easy winner for USC for us in the pick.
Yeah, I missed this one as I was at the wedding, but I did read that Kadon Slovis came back, and surely he was probably a little rusty, which may have contributed to that early lead that Notre Dame jumped out to. But, I mean, this USC team is pretty good, and it certainly looks like they're capable of covering against anyone.
Yeah, they fell to 3-3. I mean, there was a lot of talk on that broadcast, oh, you know, Helton's going to be out, whatever. I actually think they're playing really well. They just, you know, obviously lost this game. They lost at BYU, which was a tough loss. Let's see how they do in conference. This doesn't affect their conference wins, and they could still be a dark horse or at least a spoiler in that conference. I mean, you know, you've got Utah and obviously the guys from the North, you know, who play this week. We'll talk about that game, Oregon and Washington. I mean, but they can definitely win some games. So I don't know. I think they're doing pretty good. They have a lot of talent on that team, really.
Oh, yeah, certainly at the wide receiver position.
Absolutely. Well, let's jump into the metrics for this week. This is kind of the basis of how we make these decisions usually. The SP Plus top 10, we've got Ohio State on top. And on top by almost, they're over a full point here at 30.9. Alabama 29.8. Oklahoma right there at 27.3. Wisconsin at 26. There they are at 4 now. LSU 25.9. Penn State 24-4, Georgia's fallen down 24-4. I guess we got to talk about that. Clemson 23-1, Oregon 20.1, and then Missouri 19-5. We didn't mention some big stuff that happened. Georgia got knocked off by South Carolina.
Yeah, South Carolina team who lost their starting quarterback midway through the game were still able to hold on and defeat Georgia. And although it certainly a loss that hurts their chances, it doesn't really change much in the big picture because they're capable of running the table and still making it into the college football playoff.
They were. I heard that South Carolina, after they lost that quarterback, were running the Wildcat to end the game. So they don't even have a quarterback or something. I don't know. It's crazy. At least not one active for that game. And then you've got, you know, there was a lot of interesting games this weekend, but that one certainly was. You know, LSU, they came through against Florida. It was a game, but then LSU kind of closed out the last couple 7-8 minutes of that game. They kind of rolled them to get that easier win. So there were some big wins on this slate for sure.
Yeah, Penn State too with a huge road win at Iowa.
Yep.
That one kind of surprised me a little bit. I think I had a little money on Iowa this weekend. I did. but any teams here in the top 10 that surprise you where they're at currently?
Well, we talked about it. Missouri's still up there. I know that they had an injury. Kelly Bryant was injured, but they still won. I don't think they covered their game, if I'm not mistaken.
No, not the closing number, at least. It opened at 10.5 and got pushed out to 12.5, and they won by 11.
Right, so they didn't quite cover. But unfortunately, you know, the team can't make the bowls, but they're a pretty good squad. They could be another spoiler in the SEC for sure. And just Wisconsin, I mean, they don't surprise me. It's good to see the metrics are working, but they're the fourth best team on this rating, and you know, they're ahead of Clemson, ahead of Georgia, and you know, LSU even. So it's just going to basically be, can they beat Ohio State later in the season?
Yeah, I mean, they definitely, I think, are a little bit high for my liking. I'm just not sold on that offense quite yet, but it's clear that defense is phenomenal, the second ranked in SP+.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's go over some of these injuries that you think that might impact some of our outcomes this week. Starts off in North Texas. You got Mason Fine, the quarterback. He left the shoulder injury. He's probably not going to play this week, right?
Yeah, I don't think he'll play. Not really a game that I was interested in playing. Just kind of popped up on my radar.
Gotcha.
And the USC defense had a number of players that left the Notre Dame game, including several of their secondary members. So something that's worth monitoring as they go on this week to play Arizona at home.
Yeah, Arizona. They've been tough sometimes, not against Washington in the second half. And then, okay, you got Clemson receiver. He was removed from the game. That was because of a target. What happened there? Do we know?
You know, I'm not sure exactly what happened to T. Higgins, but probably not someone that they're going to miss going up against that weak slate in the ACC.
Gotcha. One of the ones I was looking at, I guess I'll have to monitor status, Tennessee quarterback Brian Maurer left the Mississippi State game with a concussion. So if he doesn't play, that could impact that Alabama-Tennessee game, which has a huge line. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Texas, got some information on Texas guys. Another ejection.
Yeah, Texas got a few injuries. Defensive back Chris Brown left the game with a fractured forearm. Mm-hmm. And then really the big one is their wide receiver, Colin Johnson, who initially looked like he had a concussion, but I was reading today that that may have been an incorrect diagnosis. Mm. Certainly something that would be worth looking at as they come home to face off against Kansas, and a pretty big spread in that one too.
Exactly, for sure. And then West Virginia, you know, like they needed this. Austin Kendall, the quarterback, he's forced out of the game with an unspecified injury. So maybe that's why they couldn't keep up with Iowa State the other day.
Yeah, and they face off with Oklahoma this weekend, so that one could get pretty ugly.
We know it will. So what spots do you like in week 8 for college?
First one is a big game out in the Pac-12, and Oregon comes in to face off against Washington this week, and Washington is actually getting 3 points at home. And I know that Oregon has the best defense in the country, but I think that this is just a great spot for Washington and one that they're going to be a live underdog. S&P Plus has this game at a pick'em, and I think that you're getting some serious value with the Huskies +3.
Have to agree with you on this one, Action. I mean, this is one of those that Peterson has owned this matchup, regardless of the coach. He's always beaten Oregon. Oregon probably has more NFL talent on their roster. However, even though Washington hasn't been playing that great, especially defensively, but I just got to think that Peterson's going to have something up his sleeve to beat this Oregon team, you know, up in Washington, which is, you know, usually a pretty good home field advantage for them.
Yeah, and I think the quarterback, Jacob Eason, is likely going to be probably the toughest quarterback that Oregon has faced this season, mm-hmm. and I think he'll be a little bit stiffer test for that defense.
Gotcha. So then you also like Pittsburgh. This is one of our teams we talked about, one of the darlings of the podcast. Pittsburgh is actually favored at Syracuse by 3.5 points. And why do you like Pittsburgh in this one?
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that I've been backing a few times this season. And I think that on the flip side, too, Syracuse is a team that I'm looking to fade.
Right.
Pittsburgh are 4-2 against the spread, and they're coming off of a bye week. And Syracuse are coming off of a game where they lost to NC State last week, which is a pretty bad team in the ACC as well. This Pittsburgh's defense has been really good this season, ranked 11th in SP+. And I'm just not a big fan of the Orange offense, and I'm not sure that they're going to be able to score much against Pittsburgh.
Right. I agree. I agree with you on that one. The next one is Texas Tech. They're at Iowa State. And you're showing – so how are you reading this? So maybe I'm misinterpreting what you get here. So you're saying that Iowa State should be a 4-point favorite instead of a 7-point favorite, right? And that's what I'm seeing on SP+. And I agree with you. Iowa State's a solid team. We love them, but that's a big number for them.
Yeah. Jet Duffy is in at quarterback for Texas Tech, which is a change. They started the season with Alan Bowman back there. But Duffy's actually been really good in his three games.
Yep.
Over 900 yards passing, and he's posted a 147 QB rating. So I know this Iowa State defense is probably the best in the Big 12, but I expect that Texas Tech is going to be able to put some points on the board. And when you're talking about this home team, I think that getting a touchdown here is some pretty good value.
For sure. You know, this is one of the bad beats from the weekend, right? Texas Tech played Baylor, and they were like 6-3 at halftime, and the total was like 59. And then they went to like triple overtime or something, and then they went over, and Baylor ended up winning the game. But it does seem like this Duffy, you know, started chucking in the second half and made it happen. So I think this is a good spot. Definitely there's some value there. Army is a 6.5-point favorite at Georgia State. And Georgia State did get a big win early in the season at Tennessee. Why do you think an Army is the side on this one?
Well, I just think that Army is going to be able to play some smash mouth football, and they play some way different styles. Army is a team that likes to slow the game down and run the triple option and often go for it on fourth down. And on the flip side, this Georgia State team is one that likes to run up-tempo offense and tries to get in as many plays in a game as they can. And I'm really looking at that matchup with the Army offensive line versus Georgia State defensive line. This defensive line is very poor with a number of stats outside of the top 100. And they also have a look-ahead with Troy on deck next week, which is a big conference game for them.
Right.
So I'm going to play Army with a little value there under the touchdown.
Okay. It's a smart play, at least especially for the number under the touchdown. And, I mean, those conflict of styles, it almost always seems like Army comes out on top with those. You know, they always seem to make you play their way. I mean, it happened to Michigan. It happens every year where the other team just can't respond to that triple option, and they get, you know, kind of squirrely. They start chucking the ball, turning the ball over or something because they're trying to make plays on the limited time they have the ball. So I do like that angle.
Certainly the triple option is difficult to prepare for if you're not used to facing it.
That's right. All right. The first game I put on the slate here is Temple is going to SMU. Temple now is getting 7.5. Unfortunately, I bet it at 7. Obviously, I've been on the Mustangs early in the year, not early enough, apparently. And, you know, SP Plus is showing them they should only be a 3.5 to 4-point favorite. But you think I might be on the wrong side here because of a letdown spot?
Yeah, I think this is a tough scheduling spot for the Temple Owls. They had a huge win last week against Memphis, and now they're going on the road to face off against this SMU team who's been really good this season covering numbers. And as you know, I think that SMU can really score some points, and it should be a really great matchup against that Temple defense, but I'm not looking to get in front of this SMU train right now.
I gotcha. We'll see. I can't quite guess right on the SMU these days, so maybe I'll be a loser. The next one is Baylor. They're going to Oklahoma State. They're getting 3 points at Oklahoma State, which I guess, you know, makes sense because they're on the road. However, in SP+, you know, this game really should be closer to a pick 'em. Originally, I was going to wait on this because I thought it was going to go up because I think it was like 3.5 or something, and now it's actually gone down to 3. So do you have any thoughts or insight on Baylor at Oklahoma State?
You know, these are two teams that I have not really been paying that close of attention to this year, so I may not have any added value to this one.
Right. Pure SP Plus play there, but I haven't done the bet yet, so we'll see what happens. Now we're talking about Tulane at Memphis. Memphis is a four-point favorite at home, obviously coming off the big loss at Temple. Tulane has played fairly well, but I kind of see this as another disrespect spot for Memphis. Maybe there's like something wrong, like we talked about a couple weeks ago. They weren't getting the kind of points they did, and then, of course, they lose to Temple the following week. I don't know. This shows this should be like a 10-point line. So any thoughts on this game?
Well, I think that Memphis might just be a little bit overvalued by SP+. You know, they have that very good rushing attack, but Tulane, on the flip side, has been excellent this year as well. They've been covering numbers left and right, and their offense is in the top 30 as well, just right there with Memphis. So I think that it's possible the odds makers see this as a little bit closer game, where SP Plus has it closer to 10. So, you know, to be honest, probably a game I'm going to be passing as well.
Gotcha. Okay, well, that's why we're discussing. That's why I didn't put it in yet. The next one is your squad, Purdue, at Iowa. This line actually floated up another point. It's Purdue's getting 18 points on the road. I guess I had heard Rondell Moore was coming back, but maybe he's not. SP Plus has this at a 14.5-point spread. So you don't think he's coming back. He's not optimistic that Rondell's coming back.
No, I was reading that Coach Brohm in the press conference yesterday said that he's not optimistic about Rondell this weekend. Although it's kind of hard to read into these college coaches sometimes. I think they like to play it close to the vest. So I would certainly be watching Rondell Moore's status. Purdue was pretty awesome last week. The backup quarterback, Jack Plummer, threw for 420 yards and three touchdowns. However, you have to consider that was against Maryland.
Maryland sucked.
playing against that Iowa defense is going to be a little bit different of a ball game here for the Purdue offense, and I certainly would not want to back them without Rondell Moore.
Right. Me too. It's just Iowa just doesn't seem to be scoring much, so it's kind of one of those things. You know, 18 points is a lot of points for them. Obviously, if they shut them out 21-0, then they cover. But, anyway. The next one is Texas A&M at Ole Miss. Originally, this came out 5.5, and I didn't bet it. I should have just done it. They're 5.5-point favorites at Ole Miss. This really should be a 7.5-point game. Now it's up to 6.5, so it's getting there. I believe the Aggies are a better squad. They've been kind of going through a murderer's row in their schedule, and they finally get a team they can beat. What do you think about taking this one at 6.5?
There's not too much of a different value there between 5.5 and 6.5, and you're still under the number of 7 there. I do agree that fading Ole Miss is always a good plan, because this team is probably one of the worst in the SEC. And Texas A&M, we know they have some great players and are stout on the defensive and offensive lines. So I think that you can still find some value there if it stays under that touchdown number.
Great. The last one I wanted to talk about was, you know, I faded Clemson last week, didn't work out. Tennessee is coming off a win, actually, and they're playing at Bama. Bama's obviously an awesome team, but Tennessee is getting 34.5 points in this one. I mean, that's almost 5 touchdowns. My thought was that Bama in the SEC doesn't cover that kind of number typically. Any thoughts on that? Especially, I mean, might be a letdown spot since the Vols beat Mississippi State last week.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, Nick Saban and Alabama has not been very good at covering these numbers north of 30 points.
Right.
Contrarily, they're really good at covering spreads between 17 and 28. So I think that if you're looking to play a team here, it's got to be Tennessee or pass, certainly.
And obviously, that quarterback, if he's out with a concussion, that may impact the betting, and maybe that's what I got to watch. But, of course, the line will go down. You know, I was hoping to see if it ticks up to 35. I'm sure it won't, because everybody will pound it. But anyway, okay, well, good discussions. I'll probably jump on Texas A&M then for sure, but the rest of them I got to wait a little bit. Okay, well, let's jump into the NFL. NFL, we've had crazy times again. The underdogs are destroying it once again, and you've highlighted one in particular. The Steelers, they beat the Chargers on Sunday night, and it was 24-17 with the backup guy, you know, the third string, Devlin Hodges, and it paid a money line of plus 230. So what do you think about that?
Well, Hodges, duck. Hodges was pretty amazing on Sunday. And, I mean, he certainly was helped out by the early defensive touchdown.
Right.
But I think the bigger story in that game was just how bad the Chargers were.
Yeah.
Phillip Rivers just did not look like his normal self, and their offensive line is just giving up tons of pressure, and that is not a good recipe for Phillip Rivers.
It seems like there's something wrong with that team in general. Now, granted, they're playing home games that aren't really home games, and Pittsburgh travels well, just like, you know, Denver travels well. So it was really a home crowd for the Steelers. But, you know, he just checked down a ton to Connor. Connor had like 70-plus yards receiving. And, I mean, they did come back in the game. And actually, the reemergence of Hunter Henry came back. He had 2 touchdowns in that game. But
yeah, 100 yards receiving as well. So
that was all late.
Something to look at.
So your numbers for the underdogs are pretty astounding once again. You want to go over those?
Yeah, another huge week for underdogs and sportsbooks as they went 10-4 yeah. against the spread and now are 60% through 6 weeks.
That's insane. You actually laid out a scenario that if you were $100 better taking each one, how much would you have made?
It'd be up 1,600, 16 units. So pretty remarkable.
That is insane. And I mean, we've talked about it on other podcasts and, you know, off air too. It's just one of those things. I think there will be a correction at some point, but right now the numbers don't catch up with the dogs, and maybe it's just because everybody's betting favorites, which is kind of strange. You'd think that the public usually likes to bet dogs, don't they?
No, usually it's the favorites, but certainly public love to follow trends. Mm-hmm. And this has been played up so much in the sports gambling media that I'm sure it's going to happen where the public is going to start loading up on some of these underdogs. And that's certainly something that I'm going to be looking for in the bet splits. When you see a very trendy public dog, mm-hmm. that usually is one that you want to run away from.
Right. The other thing you've outlined here is the road dogs are 40-20-1 ATS. That's 67%. And divisional dogs are at 63% at 17-10. So, and that's something I talked about, you know, we talked about it on air or off air. Those divisional dogs are dangerous. They always are, because it's one of those games. You know, it's like even Cincinnati, right? They covered against Baltimore, like just too big of a number. So it's just kind of nuts, though. 40-20-1, and a lot of them are outright winners, which is the crazy part.
And road teams have been successful as well. And it does look like the overs and unders are turning back towards their midway point. Mm-hmm. There's another split this week, 7-7, and now unders are still leading 48-44.
Right. It's going regressing back down to the mean. So at some point this will work itself out. But, you know, obviously maybe the books are seeing something. They're tempting us to take the favorites if we keep jump on it. Like, anyway, or you just can't pick the right dogs in our case. But
yeah, like you and me in the contest.
Exactly. There were several injuries this weekend that I think are pretty relevant. You got Kyle Long for the Bears. Now, he wasn't hurt this weekend, but the Bears basically shut him down, put him to IR, which he's had a litany of injuries over the last 3 years. It's about time. But that can affect, you know, that offense that was already bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when you have Trubisky back there, a quarterback who does not do well under pressure.
Exactly. Titus Howard for the Texans, he's out for a sustained period of time with an MCL, you know, injury. You know, they were playing really well. I mean, they obviously beat the Chiefs this week. That was a big spot for them. But more importantly, you know, the offensive line has been protecting Watson a lot better. I'm sure that him being out is going to hurt them.
Yeah, certainly. I think that the Chiefs' lack of a pass rush probably contributed to the offensive line success of the Texans last week. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the only way that you can handicap these Texans games is just to see how the opponent rushes the passer.
Right. And we'll talk about that later. Amari Cooper, he left the game with a quad injury, and that really impacted the ability for the Cowboys to come back. They did come back, but they didn't have that kind of receiver that can win on the outside. They were just kind of dinking and dunking down the field, a lot of Zeke time. But if he's out again, I mean, that's really going to impact that Philly Cowboys game this weekend.
Yeah, Michael Gallup is back in the fold, but you're right. Without Cooper, they lose a dynamic weapon on that side of the ball. Mm-hmm. Although, if the Eagles continue to have all these injuries in the secondary, it may not make much of a difference this week.
I know. Minnesota lit them up, didn't they?
Sure did.
Then we have Aqib Talib for the Rams. You know, it's going to be crazy. Last week, they started Talib and Marcus Peters. This week, they won't start either of them. Talib is put on IR with a rib. I guess he has a broken rib of some kind. He'll be out for a while. And then they up and traded Marcus Peters to the Ravens for Kenny Young and a 2020 pick, which is going to put Troy Hill and or Taylor Rapp on one side and Nickell Robey-Coleman on the other to cover these pretty dynamic Atlanta Falcons receivers.
Certainly a big splash there for the Rams, and it sounds like they're just going towards the youth movement. Mm-hmm. So can't really fault them for that. And honestly, I wouldn't really question McVay's decision-making there in both of those moves.
To me, sometimes, you know, when you get these high-priced guys, especially on the outside, like cornerbacks, or it could be receivers too, it's an attitude thing. You know, sometimes the guys, you know, I guess they were talking about maybe going to bench them or something. And Peters has already had issues when he was with the Chiefs. So it could actually help. I did hear on the NFL Network that they're going to play a lot more zone, which probably means it's going to be tougher to beat them deep. You'll have to basically, you know, chunk play down the field, which, you know, allows Aaron Donald and the guys to kind of get after you, and you're going to have to beat them the slow way instead of the quick way like everybody else has been doing lately, especially the Buccaneers.
Yeah, maybe something where you could look at playing this team in a little bit of unders, because it looks like their pace has just been drastically changed from last year. The odds makers are opening their totals very high, knowing how much they scored last year. And a lot of their games have been going under this season.
It's true. So let's go over the net yards per play metrics for after week six. Look at the top of the heap. Who's the top of the heap up there?
The Niners. Yeah, about time. New England has actually fallen off a little bit in this category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got the 49ers at 1 at 1.6. You got Minnesota at 1.5 after that huge resounding win against Philly. Then you've got New England at 1.4 with Dallas 1.4. Again, Dallas is a mystery of the net metrics. Kansas at 1.2 and Buffalo still hanging at 1. At the bottom, no surprise, Miami, Cincinnati, your Jets, minus 1.5. Sorry, Action. Didn't let you talk me into that pick. As they beat the Cowboys, as you may not know, they beat the Cowboys 24-22. Indianapolis, minus 0.9. The Giants, minus 0.8. Arizona, minus 0.7. And Washington, minus 0.6. So, again, which of these guys on the top or bottom are surprising you, or how we're going to utilize this information?
Well, I think that they continue to surprise me, and that's the Buffalo Bills near the top of the heap at a positive 1 net yards per play. This team doesn't really show you the offensive capabilities that you would expect on this end of the list, but I think they're really held up there by that defense. One of the top units in the league, probably just behind the New England Patriots. And on the flip side, I think we'll continue to talk about how Indianapolis seemingly gets it done, but they're not getting a lot of yards on that side of the ball, negative 0.9 net yards per play.
Right. Dallas and Indy are the ones that stick out. Dallas is way up there, and they're up in my index too. They're moving the ball, but, you know, Dallas is moving the ball, but they either turn the ball over, if it was Dak on 1 week, or they don't get the ball in the end zone, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas Indy is kind of the opposite. They're playing this 1970 style offense where they're running the ball and running clock, so it's not about net yards per play, it's about efficiency, right? So they're getting extremely efficient production. Jacoby Brissett is extremely productive in the red zone. The guy just throws touchdown passes. So at some point, that'll balance out for both these teams, right? I mean, at some point, theoretically, Dallas will win more games, and Indy probably won't win as many games, but for now, we just have to see what happens.
Yeah, another team at the bottom, which I think is not really their true form, is the New York Jets. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're a completely different team with Sam Darnold back there.
Right.
And a lot of that metrics, I believe, is probably due to their ineptitude at quarterback with Luke Falk.
Well, they scored, I think it was one touchdown in like three games or something.
Right, yeah.
And then they scored three touchdowns in the, you know, the first half. So he obviously can chuck it. He can spin it. He looked really good. That throw, that 92-yard pass, it wasn't a 92-yard pass, but 92-yard touchdown that he hit Robbie Anderson on was beautiful throw, and he just looked great. He commanded the offense, and Gase looked like a different play caller. So obviously Luke Falk is limiting your play calling, but it was just a different team with him out there, and the defense played hard for him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that defense is really good. They're actually 11th in the defensive yards per play at 5.4. Mm-hmm. It's really the offense that is bringing them down so low there in the net metric.
And just, you know, and we're not talking about this week, but going forward, because the Jets play the Patriots. So, you know, let's not get too excited. But at the same time, the schedule really evens out for them. They get to play, you know, Miami and all that. It gets a lot easier because they're playing one of those late third place, last place schedules. So that could be a team we could back going forward and maybe kind of defy these metrics a little bit.
Yeah. Wags, I have breaking news.
Okay.
The Rams and their secondary are going to be bolstered a little bit because they just announced a trade for Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, out Marcus Peters, Jalen Ramsey in. Wow, that is huge. That's going to affect the Jags too.
Yeah, quite an upgrade there, Marcus Peters to Jalen Ramsey.
And he's, yeah, better and younger. So, okay, well, there you have it. He doesn't have to go too far. They're going to go to Atlanta, so you can just fly right up there. That is crazy. Good pickup there, Action.
Thank you.
All right, well, let's go over the WEGS Index. Not too dissimilar from last week. You have the Patriots at the top, 49ers at 2. You've got the Vikings now at 3 with their, like I said, resounding performance against the Eagles. Ravens are still there, you know, because their offense feasts on bad teams. The Cowboys are 5th, which I want them to be lower, but, you know, we've talked about it. Their offense is good. Just got to put it in the end zone and their defense, whatever. But the Panthers are 6th. I had to add them because I think that that's a team that we've dogged. I was dogging them, especially with Cam Newton. But 4-0 with Kyle Allen, and, you know, the guy hasn't had a turnover yet. Or has a turnover. I'm sorry. He doesn't have an interception yet.
Yeah, okay.
He had some fumbles. That's right.
A few fumbles. Yeah, I mean, I think we're both on the same page, and we think that the Cowboys are a little bit of fugazi here, this high up in the list. But I think that is probably buoyed by the first 3 weeks of the season and just the teams that they played, the Giants, Redskins, and the Dolphins.
Exactly. I didn't list it there, but the bottom is no surprise. You know, Dolphins, Bengals, Redskins, Giants, and then the Jets. But not too far off are the Browns. That team's defense is just not getting it done like we thought it would. We thought they're going to be a lot better. They're like 24th in points against and 24th in yards against. So maybe they can fix things after the bye.
Yeah, I certainly hope so.
Yeah. Well, our one pick outside the circa last week didn't hit as well. The Giants at New England, the first half at 23.5. This was a crazy game. Just tons of defensive scores. Actually, in the first quarter, it was like 0-0. I'm thinking, oh, this is an easy one. And all of a sudden, the second quarter, what, they put up 28 points in the quarter?
Yeah, the Patriots scored on that blocked punt. Mm-hmm. And even then, I was still feeling pretty good about this under. But then right after that, the Patriots scored again through Sony Michel. And then it was the 80-yard bomb to Golden Tate, which didn't help at all. Right. And then the Giants actually got a defensive score themselves.
Exactly.
So busted there in the first half. But that's all right. We'll move on. I still think the Patriots are a solid underplay in every half and every game total there is.
Mm-hmm. You're going to win more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally put up a couple spots here. Of course, these numbers may have changed since I put them up. But the Lions at Vikings, you know, I have now it's, I guess, the total is 45. I thought under would be a good play there. I mean, the Lions, although their defense metrically isn't that great, they do keep you out of the end zone. And the Vikings defense is super solid. What do you think about that play?
Yeah, I like this play a lot. I mean, I know that both of these teams like to run the football. Mm-hmm. They're Dalvin Cook and Kerryon Johnson. And I think that if you're getting under the key number there, 45 in the NFL, I even see a couple of 45.5s here on the board. So I like this underplay a lot.
All right. The other one is, you know, my beloved Bears are taking on the Saints. The Saints are coming to town. And right now, the total is 38.5. Let me see if that's still accurate. Let's see here.
Yep.
All right, 38.5. I like the under in this one. This is the Saints are a total defensive machine now. And the Bears, I imagine coming in off the break, they're going to be really focusing on that defense after getting eviscerated on the ground by the Raiders. You also like the under for the first half of 20.
Yeah, I like this game under a lot. You mentioned it. This New Orleans defense has been phenomenal the past several weeks. They're now moved up to 14th in DVOA, but I think that scoring defense has got to be in the top 10. And on the flip side, Chicago now coming off the bye, and their defense always shows up, and even more so at home. So I think that the Bears and the New Orleans Saints are going to be looking at a low-scoring game this weekend.
Agreed. Yeah, just to confirm, yes, they're 11th in scoring defense and 10th in yards against. But you have to remember, week one, they gave up like 30 points to Houston. And since then, it's just been a totally different game. And actually, it was late yardage and scoring against the Seahawks. But since then, they've just shut the door. I mean, whatever, like the Bucs and, you know, last week, the Jags couldn't do a damn thing this past weekend.
No, I rewatched that game this evening, and they were able to get into the red zone a few times, but unfortunately, Minshew and company just couldn't put it in the end zone, and that busted one of our circuit picks.
That's right. Yeah. To review, good segue. We're in the circuit contest now, tete-a-tete. We did not do well. We were 1-4 again. Just a tough one. Yeah, we will send a check to Jamal Williams if we win. how he ran through the line, and the Detroit was... They were covering the whole game. I mean, they were on the right side, but you know, this crappy penalty calls and put Green Bay in a position to, you know, for sure kick the field goal, but they tried to let him score, but he sat down, sat on his butt right at the 2-yard line.
Yeah, we needed the Lions last night to get our lone win of the week, and really, it must be said, the Lions blew that game.
They did.
The first half, they had multiple trips inside the red zone and just couldn't get the ball into the end zone. 1-for-4 on the night in the red zone.
Yeah, that hurts. They really came out guns a-blazing. I kind of liked the way that their game plan was. They were chucking it down the field early, and then they just kind of tried to hold on for dear life. And one of the things with the Lions in that game that I noticed, I give LaFleur credit. We've been touting the Lions' defense, especially against the run with Snacks Harrison and everything. But one thing that Green Bay was doing, they're putting them in nickel and getting them in nickel and then running out of nickel. So they were getting a lot of yards on the ground against that nickel package. And then even when they threw the ball, the Lions don't rush the passer very well. They didn't get to Rodgers, basically. So they have a solid back end, but if Rodgers, who's pretty mobile, can get 5, 6, 7 seconds, I mean, he's going to find somebody, even with a depleted receiving corps.
Yeah, definitely. He had some receivers going last night. I had Rodgers under his passing total, which was a loser.
Okay, well, let's go over these. You know, we've dropped to 1,278th place now, but we only trail the leader by 10 points. So we can still catch up, and maybe this quarter is blown, but, you know, we can see what we can do.
I definitely think we're out for the quarter, but we still have a puncher's chance at the full season, and there's certainly quarters 3 and 4.
Exactly. So the first game is Kansas City at Denver. Kansas City lost to Houston last week. They blew a big lead, actually, in that one, 17-3, and they ended up losing 31-24 or whatever. But they're going to Denver. They're only 3-point favorites. I know we don't pick the Thursday game, but what do you think about that game?
I've bet Denver already, plus 3.5. There's been some early sharp money on the Broncos this week. It opened at 4.5, and despite 76% of the bets on Kansas City, this line is going down. There's threes painted across the board now and just a single number with the hook on my screen here. What do you think?
Yeah, I got to agree. I mean, we talked about how we thought the Titans would go into Denver and kind of bludgeon them with the run, and they couldn't do a damn thing. Mariota was terrible, and I think that's – I mean, he's bad, but that based on the defense too. Now, they're not going to score a lot of points, Denver, but against this Chiefs defense that can't stop anybody up the middle – you got to figure Lindsey and Royce Freeman are going to get, you know, maybe 30, 35 carries at least in this game total. And they can keep, basically they can dictate the clock, and that's what everybody's doing against the Chiefs.
Yeah, this Kansas City defense has been really bad this season, and they're 31st ranked against the run. And I think that's how you can handicap all of these Chiefs games going forward, unless they show you something differently. Any team that has any semblance of a run game is going to be able to hang on to the football, just like the Colts and the Texans did, and just keep Mahomes off the field.
That's right. Exactly. The next game is the Giants. They're hosting Arizona. The Giants are 3-point favorites. You know, they're at home. They should get some points. It's a little bit weird. I see that this is kind of a flaw in the index, because I agree with your take that the Giants are probably the better side here. But the Cardinals have been playing pretty good. They haven't been playing anybody, as the Giants, you know. The Giants, when they play bad competition, they play well. Good competition, they play like crap. So what do you think about this game?
Yeah, I mean, put in here, I think that I like the Giants here at this number. I would like it a lot more if we could get it underneath that hook, maybe 2.5 pops in the contest. But I have seen Kyler Murray perform better the last several weeks, and now they've certainly shown their mettle with two straight wins. But I think it's a whole nother animal going all the way across the country to play in New York in the early time slot. And I just think it's a bad spot for Arizona in general. So that's my handicap in this one.
Yeah, I agree. And you could say, I mean, Arizona's won 2 in a row, right? Are they really going to win 3 in a row? Probably not.
No.
And I do think I've heard that Saquon Barkley could be back. They should get Evan Ingram back. So Daniel Jones will have
Sterling Shepard.
Sterling Shepard. They'll have their full complement of weapons with Colton Tate, you know, back from suspension. So it could actually be a really good game for Daniel Jones and the Giants here. You could talk me into that one, I think.
All right.
The next one is your squad. Indy is hosting Houston on this one. We're showing it as a pick. It's tough, man. I believe in your Colts kind of because I believe Reich with a week off in the bye can basically scheme for Houston. Houston's getting on a roll like they did last year. You really like Houston in this game.
Yeah, I do. They are on a roll without a doubt. And I just keep going back to last year's game in Indianapolis where Houston played them tough and they ended up winning the game in overtime. But, you know, the more I think about it, after seeing your notes, I do agree that I think Indianapolis on the defensive side of the ball is getting healthier. Expected Darius Leonard to be back this week. And they do have a pretty good pass rush. So it would scare me a little bit making Houston one of our contest plays, just knowing that Deshaun Watson is not the same quarterback when he's under pressure.
Right. And it's basically a battle for first place in the division, right? So, I mean, it's going to be all on the line. A pick is, you know, it's close, but it'll be a fun game to watch regardless.
Yeah, I think it's one that we should probably pass on.
So Buffalo is hosting Miami. Miami almost won one, or at least almost tied one or something. They were down to the Washington Redskins, and Washington was up, what was it? Was it 14-0? And I thought that was, you know, okay, they're going to get their win. Oh, no, Miami came storming back with Fitzmagic, and they went for 2 to win the game.
Or lose the game.
Or lose the game on purpose. So they still lose. But Buffalo's they're laying 16.5 here. Huge number. I love Buffalo, but I don't know, man. That's a lot of points for them to even score.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can back Buffalo to score that many points. Although I did see that Brian Flores came out and announced that Rosen is going to be the starter for the rest of the season.
Oh, okay.
So I certainly like the Buffalo side a lot more knowing that Rosen's going to be at quarterback and not Fitzpatrick.
Right.
But again, this is a team that I think is not used to laying that, certainly not used to laying points and definitely not over 2 touchdowns. So not something that I want to look at. And I definitely can't play Miami. In fact, I think we skipped it earlier, but another spot I do like is the Miami team total under 10.5 points this week. I don't see how they're going to score that many against Buffalo.
I did miss that. Sorry about that. Yeah.
No problem.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's that team is terrible, man. The only way they're going to get there is some sort of defensive score. Now, Josh Allen has been prone to turn the ball over, but
certainly
I think they're getting Devin Singletary back this week, or at least, you know, between Frank Gore and him. And I mean, it's going to be a nice. It might help the net yards per play this week for Buffalo.
Yeah.
All right, the next one is Minnesota at Detroit. Minnesota's favored. We're kind of on the two sides of it, so let's talk about it. I like the Vikings. I know that, you know, Kirk Cousins, we were dogging him last week, but he came up big against that horrible Philly secondary. I do think Detroit's secondary is better than that, but I don't know, man. Last night when I was watching the game, I mean, that secondary couldn't stop Green Bay's, like, third and fourth receivers out there. I mean, you know, Devontae Adams was out. Yeah, Geronimo Allison was knocked out of the game. They ended up going to Alan Lazard was the guy. So I just think that they have better receivers at Minnesota, plus the defense is super solid. What make the case for Detroit?
Well, I mean, it really comes down to just that running game from Detroit. Kerryon Johnson, I've seen him run all over teams and control the clock. And I like Detroit's defense too, to be honest. Their front seven has been outstanding, and really that's how you have to play the Vikings, is by stopping that running game. Detroit's 10th ranked against the pass too. And, you know, they're at home, and I just know that it's a big game for the division, and I like to fade Kirk Cousins in big games. So if we're on opposite sides, maybe it's something where we could find five other better picks.
Right, right. Another great game on the docket for sure. Here's one. Green Bay is at home against Oakland. Green Bay now is laying 6. It was 6.5. I think it's too many points for the Pack here. I can't believe I'm saying this because I was dogging Oakland early in the year, but Chucky certainly has this team playing well. His initial game plans, especially in the first halves, have been dominant against your Colts, against my Bears. And off the bye, I mean, they got a full week to prepare against Rodgers and this kind of depleted, you know, receiving core. Can you get on board with Oakland here?
You could maybe convince me of that one. I think it's going to be interesting to see where the number comes out in the contest. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a good spot for Oakland. You've got Green Bay now coming off of a Monday night game, mm-hmm. and Oakland is coming off that bye. So I think that the Raiders have been impressive this year, certainly more impressive than any of us thought they would be. Totally. And I know that you and I have been trying to fade Green Bay as much as possible. So certainly something I'd be interested in.
All right, we'll check it out. The next one is, which is a little more news, you know, Jacksonville's at Cincinnati. They're laying 3 points, at least at the moment. Maybe it's changing in real time. But, you know, Cincinnati's awful. We know that. But without Jalen Ramsey, I don't know. That could move the needle a little bit.
Yeah, certainly. And you've already seen some money come in on Cincinnati this week. Opened at 3.5, and it's now down to a flat 3. And although, as I'm looking here, I see a 4 now, so maybe I have that backwards. But I do think that Cincinnati is a team certainly worth fading, but it is hard to lay that many points with Minshew on the road. So I don't know. I think that I would be okay with passing on this one. What are your thoughts?
Well, there's a lot of unknowns here. I mean, Cincinnati has burned us a couple of times this year. I should have spoken up more. You know, they had 11 points or whatever against, you know, against the Ravens, which is just a big number for them. Mm-hmm. Don't think A.J. Green will come back, but at the same time, this team just isn't good. Jacksonville we like a lot, but Minshew's got to play on the road again. They're going to be down. You know, who knows how the team's going to respond to Ramsey being gone. It's just it's a good stay-away spot to me. That's the way
I look. Yeah. I think I vote for a pass there, too.
All right. Rams at Atlanta. The Rams at the moment are 3-point favorites. We know Jared Goff, probably we discussed how he was, you know, the worst ever. his passer rating was just terrible. But I don't know. Now that you got Jalen Ramsey in the fold, that makes a little bit of a difference. And Atlanta, they can't beat anybody. I mean, their defense is terrible. Are you on the Rams, or you think Atlanta's a good play here?
I think that in this game, it's going to be Falcons or pass, even if Jalen Ramsey plays. And, you know, it's got to be said, he's been on the injury report the last couple of weeks. So you think he'll miraculously be healed this weekend now that he's in L.A.?
I don't know. I mean, who knows if he was really injured? You know, maybe he's just kind of sandbagging because he wanted to be traded. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I think that's probably more likely the case. But even though Atlanta has such a poor defense, do you expect Jared Goff to suddenly find some accuracy this weekend?
I don't know. I mean, he had huge games the last 2 weeks, and I wouldn't say huge yardage-wise, but he had turnovers and things. So I don't think he's playing very well at all. And obviously Gurley missed the game, which is really the key to that whole offense. I don't know. I just kind of feel like it may be a spot where – now, granted, Atlanta's lost what? 4 in a row or 3 in a row or something. They can't win. Mm-hmm. Coming home is going to be good for them. But I don't know. I mean, Goff's going to get right against this secondary. I don't see how he can't. And they don't have injuries in their receiving core. And for me, doing this move where they get rid of Peters and get Ramsey, whether he plays or not, it's just going to kind of refresh the squad. And I don't know. 3 points is not a big number. If it goes up, which it might with the Ramsey news, then I'd probably stay away. But if it's 3 or less, I'd take the Rams personally. But
yeah, something worth monitoring. I will note, though, this game opened at 4, and despite 71% of the bets on the Rams, it's gone down to 3.
That's really interesting.
That would indicate to me, at least early on in this week, there's been some sharp money on the Falcons.
Mm-hmm. Good read. Okay, San Francisco at Washington. They're laying 10 points right now, at least on Bet Online. We've been doubting this team. Can't doubt them anymore. This team's for real. They went to the Rams, punched them in the mouth. They beat everybody everywhere. Washington's absolutely terrible. This is one of those situations where maybe something totally opposite happens in the NFL, but I'm all over San Francisco in the 10 points. I'll take them on. Washington sucks.
Yeah, you can sign me up for that. This defense has been outstanding. Really, it's their rush defense that showed up last weekend against the Rams, but looking at the numbers, they're number one ranked against the pass, and that front seven just gets after the quarterback. And on the flip side, the Washington Redskins can't protect their quarterback. So
right.
This is a recipe for a big-time victory by the Niners.
Now, what will probably happen is Circle pump it up to 11 or 10.5 and make it like a tougher, you know, thought. But we'll just have to see what happens. I do like to stick to our guns there and play the better team.
I'll follow the index.
Good. The Tennessee against the Chargers, they're hosting the Chargers in this one. We've discussed how bad the Chargers have been, but Tennessee hasn't been that great. It's really unfortunate. That defense is really good, but Mariota sucks. I am hoping to God that they go with Tannehill. When he came in the game, at least they had some life. They threw the ball. He was finding receivers that haven't caught a ball in 2 weeks. And, you know, they obviously lost the game at Denver. The Chargers just, there's something wrong with this team. So I'd be on Tennessee with the two. And it was actually, what was it, like a pick to start off?
Yeah.
Wish it was a pick.
Yeah.
Wish I got that. But we're showing twos everywhere now, right?
Yep, twos across the board. There is a heavy juiced one at five dimes, and this is another game where early sharp money has been all over Tennessee.
Yeah.
70% on the Chargers, and it's gone from pick 'em out to a two. And I think it's all behind just fading the Chargers here. They are way overrated, and that defense has performed horribly this season. 27th ranked in DVOA, and their pass defense in particular has been horrible this season. So I'm with you regardless of Mariota or Tannehill. I'm happy to lock in the Titans here, getting back home. And boy, sitting through that game last weekend, watching Tennessee was was difficult. I know you and I were trading texts that we were hoping Tannehill would get a shot, and he did come in, and he actually moved the ball. They got into the red zone twice. They just couldn't get it into the end zone.
Yep.
So I think that I like Tennessee a lot this weekend.
Okay, great. We got one. Next game is going to be – I'm really excited to see this game. Seattle is hosting Baltimore. They're 3.5-point favorites right now. I'm showing this as a perfectly priced game. It's exactly where it should be. I think it's going to be an awesome game to watch, just two dynamic, you know, quarterbacks. The defenses have come on. Seattle lost Disley, you know, looks like for the year with his Achilles. But I don't think that's going to affect, you know, Russell Wilson, my current MVP for the league. And I don't know. Any thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I mean, I think that for me, it's going to be Seattle or pass. Mm-hmm. And it basically has to come down to the Baltimore pass defense.
Right.
Because it's pretty clear that Russell Wilson is in MVP form. And I don't expect that the Ravens defense will be able to stop him this weekend. It'll just matter-of-factly come down to how well Seattle can play against that Baltimore rushing attack. So a game where I like the over as well, but I don't know how you feel about Seattle as the side.
I do feel good about Seattle on the side. I mean, the Ravens are rated higher in the index, but I think that their schedule is what's indicative of that. When they played better teams, and I don't even think the Browns are a better team, but you know, they got rolled by the Browns, they got beat by the Chiefs. Seahawks, they've actually kind of had a murderer's row schedule if you look at it. I mean, they've had to fly all over the place and met all comers, really. They're a really good team. So coming back home, I think, is going to be great for them. And I do think Seattle's the right side in this one.
Yeah, I mean, when you compare the two efforts against the Browns, you just saw the Seattle team go on the road and beat Cleveland last weekend. And then a week or two before that, it was Baltimore just getting shellacked by the Browns at home. So can't always compare games like that, but I certainly think that plays into this one a little bit as well.
Right. The next one is when we talked about in terms of the total, the Bears are hosting New Orleans. The Bears are 3-point favorites at home. This opened at 4, and I jumped all over it because I thought that was just way too high. The teams are actually really close in the index. They're back-to-back in the index for me. So it should be, you know, a flat 3 or 2.5 for the Bears. And I'm a little worried about the Bears, obviously. I'm not expecting Trubisky to play. If he plays, then I could see the Bears being the side. But this Saints defense is just bawling. And they're like a freight train. I did hear that Kamara is banged up. So his ankle, he's playing through an ankle injury now. So that'll affect them. But, I mean, the Saints are just strangulating better offenses than the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, you and I both agree that I think we had the Saints pegged wrong. We've been against them, or at least I personally have been against them almost every week this year with Bridgewater. Yeah. And all he's done is cover games, now 4-0 on the young season. Yep. And I'm in total agreement. I don't think we can step in front of this New Orleans freight train.
Exactly. Okay. Dallas is hosting Philadelphia. We've talked about, you know, their woes. They're laying 3 points at home. I guess that's because they're at home. And Philadelphia looked atrocious in the secondary. I mean, they let Stephon Diggs go wild. The problem is that Dallas doesn't have Stephon Diggs. They don't have Amari Cooper out there. Well, we'll find out, I guess. Even if they do, there's something wrong. If Tyron Smith, which I think is your best handicap, if he's out of the lineup, this is a different offense. And they've been getting down in these games right away. It's just kind of remarkable how the first half I believe that's coaching. I think that Garrett's getting out coached in the first half of every game, and only by the grace of really superior talent sometimes that they can come back. If they do that against Philly, I don't think they're going to be able to come back.
You know, you make a really good point there. In fact, I'm going to make a note to myself here to look at Philadelphia in the first half. Mm-hmm. But I agree, and I heard an interview with the Eagles coach.
Doug Peterson.
Yes, Doug Peterson today, where he basically came out and said that this game on Sunday night has been Philadelphia's main focus. And I suspect that may have been a small part in why they performed so poorly against Minnesota last weekend, because they circled this one as a division spot that could really give them a great opportunity to put a stranglehold on this division. And for me, it's going to be Philadelphia or pass for this one.
I agree. Of course, there's kind of some misinformation that they said Doug Peterson guaranteed a win or whatever. But either way, they've definitely looked ahead. And to me, I don't know. I mean, Dallas is kind of licking their wounds. I don't know if they're ready. They really need a bye or something to get right. And Philly is, I mean, they've been up and down. You know, they haven't been great, but they have enough skill positions to get it done. So it still should be a fun game to watch for sure.
Yeah, and just to add a game that I've already bet the over on, 48.5. I think that the Dallas offense is going to put up plenty of points, especially against that banged up Philly secondary. And on the flip side, I think Philadelphia will get theirs too. So I'm liking the over.
Well, nice work. It's 49.5 now. You got a full point of value there.
Look at me.
Action. Speaking into action. There you go. The last game is the Monday night game. New England, they're 10-point favorites at the Jets. The Jets obviously coming off on high, playing the Cowboys and just getting this big win. Everybody's going crazy with, you know, Darnold fever. Hopefully he didn't kiss anybody after the game. And then, you know, New England has been just incredible. Belichick's been unbelievable against first and second year quarterbacks, but do you think the Jets could actually surprise people again and get within that 10?
Yes, I do. I bet them already, actually. I think that the New England offense has some holes in the armor, mainly their offensive line. The injuries are starting to catch up to them. And you talk about James Devlin, the fullback who has been a big part of their offense in recent years, being out as well. And I think that this New England team is just having a little bit difficult time scoring against good defenses. And I know that put up some points against the Giants last week, but this Jets D is a whole nother animal. And on the flip side, I think that Darnold may find a little bit of success. And I think this is a big number for the Jets at home.
Gotcha. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know if I'll get on board with the contest, but I think it's something I may. Well, we can talk about it. I bet it. I mean, it's that defense is pretty good. They're going to be jacked up for Monday Night Football. And New England, the thing that what's-his-name is going to do, Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator of the Jets, and he did it against Dak Prescott, they're going to hit Brady. I mean, they were putting Dak on the ground every play. If they get pressure on Brady and make him feel uncomfortable and beat him up, They have a depleted receiving core. I don't know. Are they going to be able to run the ball that well? I mean, they're just going to be – it's going to be interesting how it works out. I mean, in the end, Zeke Elliott was able to get his rushed pretty well over time. But I don't know. We'll just have to see. It'll be an interesting game for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be dependent on that number. I suspect, much like the others, this is going to be a pretty sharp line. I'm guessing it. We'll see a 9.5. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, just to review my index picks, because I don't want us to, you know, we could discuss them later, but.
Yeah, you
know,
let's hear
it. New Orleans for sure. And I had it plus, you know, obviously plus the 4, but it's plus 3 here. San Francisco minus the 10. Tennessee minus the 2. Rams minus the 3. Minnesota minus the 1, and then Oakland minus, plus the 6. So those are the ones that the index, if you kind of use it to look at the inefficiencies that come out. So we're pretty much on some of those, so I don't feel so bad this week. Last week I was like, I should have, I don't know, it's my own thing, whatever, man. I don't want to keep losing, so let's try to figure this out one way or another.
Hey, the index has been well documented over the last year and a half of having success. So okay. I'm happy to follow it, especially as the season goes on. We both know that the numbers really shine as the year goes on.
They do. It was about this time last year that I started using it. So, I mean, it makes sense. There's 5-6 weeks of data. You can use it. So mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, that wraps up our episode 47 of the Side Action. Anything else to add, Action, before I sign off?
No, I don't think so. Another good episode here and really uncovered some nuggets, even some derivative bets that I'm interested in looking at here.
Right.
So looking forward to getting back to it, and hopefully we can have a little bit better week in the Circa contest.
Awesome. We'll bounce back. We're going to get there. I can feel it. And now that you're back focused, none of this, you know, wedding business and
Yeah, we need to cancel all weekend plans from here on out.
right, of course, that's going to happen. So that's awesome, man. So this coming weekend, I don't have much going on. I'll probably just watch some games and plug in, you know.
There you go. So,
all right, well, that wraps it up, our action here at the Side Action. I'm Jim Weglars. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. Thanks, everybody, for following us and listening to us. We do want to hear your success stories or questions, so hit us up. And, you know, at some point, maybe when Action's back in town, we'll have to do one of those live events again.
Oh, that's a good idea. We should definitely set that up.
Absolutely.
Peace out. That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.